Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the June issue, where we'll cover healthy sleep, diet and exercise, complementary and alternative treatments, sports and recreation, and developing social skills. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. We've got a great show tonight. ADHD acceptance should, it shouldn't be passive resignation. And couldn't have a better guest to cover this topic tonight in our virtual studio. With us tonight is Dr. Ari Tuckman. Real quickly, today is Wednesday, May the 27th in the year 2015. We're broadcasting a little bit earlier than normal. Typically, we're at 8 o'clock, but we're at 11 a.m. Do some scheduling changes last minute. So virtually everybody will hear this in podcast. We're sorry for the last minute change, but I actually get to go out tonight and have some fun. So anyway, let's kind of move on real quickly to some announcements. The ADD Coach Academy would like to thank everybody who went to their website to fill out the VIA character strengths. They've gotten all their research in. They're crunching the numbers. I'm hoping in a couple of months from now we'll hear something in on that, and we can maybe report what's going on there. Also, Dr. Barkley continues to encourage me to make public the ADHDfund.com website, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise funds for small-scale ADHD research studies worldwide. Also, the CHAD conference is around the corner, November the 12th through the 14th in New Orleans this year. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. I know I'm going to be in attendance this year. I'm sure Ari's going to be in attendance, and it's a great place to go. You can get a lot of really good information on the Internet, but there's nothing like going to the actual conference and being with your tribe. We're plugging. Dr. Tuckman was on our show a couple months ago, and he's doing some research on ADHD and sex, and he's gotten some significant responses in. Last I talked to him, a little bit over 3,000. But we're a little light, if you will, on getting responses from males in ADHD relationships that do not have ADHD. So if you're listening to this podcast and you happen to be one of them or you know somebody, please have them go to ADHDRelationshipSexSurvey.com and complete that. Again, we have some responses, but we need a little bit more for better statistical significance. So let's get into tonight's show. Again, it's Dr. Ari Tuckman. He's a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He's the author of 3 books, Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, the ADHD Executive Functioning Workbook, More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD, and Integrative Treatments for Adults ADHD, a practical, easy-to-use guide for clinicians. He's a frequent speaker. Actually, frequent is a better adjective for that. He's constantly speaking. He's given more than 250 presentations on ADHD and other topics. He's got over 100 episodes and almost 2 million downloads of his More Attention, Less Deficit podcast. He's a member of the National Board of CHAD, which really means that his part-time job is psychology and his full-time job is working for CHAD's National Board. You can find more information on him at adultadhdbook.com. And Dr. Tuckman, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here, as always.
And I wasn't really kidding around when I mean your part-time job is psychologist and your full-time job is working at CHAD now, because there's a lot of time that you put into that organization, among others, and I just like to kind of stop and, if I can take the position of representing the ADHD community, we thank you as a community asset for ADHD because you do so much.
Well, thank you very much. It's I don't know. It's a great group of people. It's fun to do, and it's important work. So I'm happy to be a part of all the other people working very hard for it.
All right. So you do such a good job in this community, and you do such a good job, particularly with me, because I so often have an opinion that is founded in something that's probably not really as stable as it should be, and you have a really good way of bringing things to light and having me look at things differently. And Dr. Tuchman, over the last couple of years, from the coaching paradigm, I always look at, we have this saying, a client's creative, naturally resourceful and whole when they're not broke. And I've heard you talk about acceptance before, and it just kind of, I don't know, just kind of hair on my back kind of stood up. But recently I heard you talk about acceptance as kind of two kinds. There's like the passive resignation and then the more active acceptance. And, you know, this show is about attention, and it just shifted my attention on those two different things. So can you talk about those for a little bit?
Sure. So acceptance and resignation are really very different, and I think it's important to be clear on those differences. So let me start with resignation. So resignation is basically just taking something as it is without any effort to make any changes to it. So, for example, just to pick some random example, if the issue is somebody has trouble getting places on time, the resignation approach to that is to say, well, I'm really bad at getting places on time. What are you going to do? It's not going to get better. I can't do anything about it. So they just go along their way and just sort of continue to show up late, but feel sort of bad about it, most likely. By contrast, acceptance involves acknowledging something as it is and instead focusing on what it is that they can do differently about it. So being angry about, you know, I'm always late, or I'm a terrible person because I'm late, that isn't acceptance, you know, or like, I should just be able to get places on time. That's not acceptance either. You know, that's kind of not accepting, not acknowledging that this is a struggle. So by contrast, then, acceptance means to say, in this example, I'm really bad at getting places on time. If I just try to keep track of time inside my head, it is not going to work out well. So I accept the fact that if I have to be somewhere on time, I need to set an alarm that tells me it's now 2:15, better start getting ready. Or I accept the fact that at 2 o'clock, if I have to leave at 2:15, I cannot start some interesting thing at 2 o'clock, dip into it, and then pull back out at 2:15, because that just doesn't happen, or whatever. So acceptance means kind of acknowledging the situation as it is, whether we are happy about it or angry about it, but acknowledging it as it is, and then putting our attention, focusing on the options that really exist. If I want to be somewhere on time, I cannot start something really exciting at 2. If I would rather do the exciting thing and I don't care about being on time, then I can do that interesting thing at 2. But those are my two kind of mutually exclusive options, let's say.
You said something a second ago, and I like how you framed that up, but if you accept that you have ADD, okay, do you have to like it?
I mean,
because to me, I think this is one of my problems, is I was associated with acceptance like as you like it. And what I'm hearing is, no, you accept it, and you're going to do something about it. You don't have to like it, but you have to just accept the way it is, which is kind of just, I find that just interesting, because I would think a lot of people would think acceptance, like me, would be like, you have to like it.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Like, accepting things we like is a piece of cake. You know, like, there's not much to be talked about there. So acceptance comes in primarily then on the things that we don't like. And just to really make a simple, simple example, let's say it was raining out right now. And, you know, after we do this interview, I'm going to run over to the gym in the middle of the day, as I often do. And if it's, you know, now at the moment, it's not raining. So I'm very happy about that. And it's an easy thing for me to walk a few blocks to the gym and do my workout. But if it was pouring out, I'm not going to be happy about the fact that it's raining out. You know, that is not a good situation for me if I want to get to the gym and then get back to the office without looking like I swam here. So So the acceptance piece is to not fret over it, to not stomp and storm over the fact that it's raining, to not be sulky and say, oh, I'm not working out, it never works out for me. But instead to say, okay, it is raining. What are my options? Do I have an umbrella here? Did I bring my raincoat this morning? Is there something I can do to make this into the best situation it could be under the circumstances that exist? So, you know, taking that to, you know, a bit more of a complex situation, like with ADHD, let's say, so accepting the diagnosis of ADHD, you don't have to be happy about having ADHD, but accepting it means saying, you know what, I'm not going to fight this. I'm not going to pretend that I can remember things without writing them down. I'm not going to pretend that, I don't know, staying up too late doesn't make me feel worse the next day. So that's kind of the denial perspective. The acceptance perspective is, I hate the fact that I forget things without writing them down, but you know what? I'm just going to start writing them down. Like, I acknowledge that is something I have to do.
That's what's so cool about this is that active acceptance and saying, hey, you're not fighting it. You're just saying, hey, it is what it is, but you're doing something about it. That's the aha for me today in this stuff is it's not the passive resignation like, woe is me. It's like, don't fight it, accept it, and kind of move on and kind of work around it in a more positive way.
Exactly. So it's putting your attention on the choices that are actually available and making your decision among those options that are available, as opposed to keeping your attention stuck on what you would like it to be. I shouldn't have to write things down to remember them. Like, you know, I don't know, maybe that is true that you shouldn't have to, but you know what, if you do, then you do. It's like if you're lactose intolerant, like, you know, you're a big boy, you should be able to drink milk, but you know what, guess what, you can't. So if you don't want to feel terrible, then you have a choice to make. So, you know, we make choices in all sorts of ways throughout our day. And the acceptance perspective keeps us from getting worked up about things that don't really get us anywhere.
You know, it's kind of funny. We talked so much about the show about how ADD is a self-regulation issue and emotions are something you have to regulate along with attention. And if you can kind of divorce yourself of that, of this and accept it, you're kind of down-regulating your emotions and kind of managing your ADD in a kind of different way. Dr. Tuckman, I need to go a break real quick, but when we come back, now that we have this notion of passive resignation and more, you know, acceptance, you talk about kind of getting ahead of the story a little bit, because if you're actually saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to fight it, I'm going to get this, when we come back, I want to talk about that a little bit more. For everybody, if you want to learn more about Ari, go to his website at adultadhdbook.com. There's great, I mean spectacular information to get access to his books, his podcasts, and much more. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
As the mom of a kid with ADHD, I wanted him to have a summer camp experience like all the other kids, but I also wanted him to work on his social skills and become more confident, so I decided to send him to SOAR.
At SOAR, I got to have fun and be myself with other kids who are just like me. I felt comfortable and like I was part of a group. I can't wait to go back next summer.
Give your child a summer of success at SOAR. Learn more and apply today at ADHDSummerCamps.com or SOARNC.org. Your journey to success begins at SOAR.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Ari Tuchman on a fascinating topic of acceptance. Before the break, he illuminated us, me in particular, about the notion of the difference of passive resignation and more active acceptance, and I thought that was really, really kind of cool. And Dr. Tuchman, you talked in the past, like, as a psychologist, and I know as I coach, we try to help those kind of improve their executive functioning, kind of understand who they are a little bit so that they can do things their way. And so there's certainly the good thing about ADD is there's so much that can be done to help those kind of move forward. But as you talk about, you go so far, but then at some point in time, there's this notion of active acceptance. And if you do accept it and you're not going to fight it, you talk a lot about getting ahead of the story. What do you mean by that?
Sure. So getting ahead of the story is, the basic idea is that people see what we do and they make assumptions about our intentions. So if you show up on time and you're ready and you have all the stuff that you need, people make the assumption, oh, this meeting was important to this person. If you show up late, if you're unprepared, if you left something at home, people will make the assumption that, you know what, this person didn't really care that much about this meeting, or it wasn't that important, or their time is worth more than mine, or something like that. Because, you know, we can't see the thoughts inside somebody's head, but rather we look at what they do or don't do, and we assume what's going on inside their head in terms of their intentions and how important something is and their character even. So the idea of getting ahead of the story is to not kind of passively let other people come to their own conclusions about your intentions and character, but rather to tell them outright. So, and really this is the place where, this is the big social impact of ADHD, is that it's all these negative assumptions that other people make about ADHD behaviors. So getting ahead of the story is to, like, if you show up late, to make it very clear that this was not intended and that you feel bad about it. So say, like, you know, I'm really sorry. I struggle with getting places on time. I got caught up in something else. I know this is important. I know your time is valuable. I really didn't, you know, mean to be here this late. So you don't want to lay it on too thick, but to really just kind of convey, this was important to me and I'm sorry that I messed it up, or I'm sorry about the impact it had on you. So you're kind of getting ahead of the story that the other person is telling themselves, or even more getting ahead of the story is, all right, cool, let's meet at 3. But here's the thing. I sometimes, you know, I struggle with getting places on time, or that's a broad statement. A more narrow statement is, cool, let's meet at 3. But, you know, here's the thing. I might get tied up in things before I can leave the office to meet you there. So let's do this. You know, I want to be there on time, but text me before you leave and make sure that I'm able to get myself out of here on time. So you're kind of, that's even more getting ahead of the story, because you're setting it up before the event even happens, as opposed to cleaning it up after it's happened.
And I think what you just described is perfect examples of accepting it and kind of acknowledging what's kind of going on and being proactive about it, by, as opposed to just kind of resigning yourself to it. And there's a lot that we're talking about that falls back on this, but I'll encourage everybody. You and I did a show, I think it was like in November of 2010, about disclosing ADHD, and in that show we talked about the difference between an explanation and an excuse. And an explanation depends it's very negative, and it's dependent on the willingness of the other person to kind of accept what's going on and carry the burden, where we talked about an explanation is so much more, is kind of like what we're talking about here. It's the accepting it and not using it as an excuse, but to explain what's going on. Like, I wouldn't want to meet you at 3 o'clock, but I struggle with time sometimes, so don't, you know, if you want to send me a text or something to do whatever, then you're going forward. You're empowering the you're explaining yourself, empowering the person to do something if they choose, but not requiring it. So, again, everybody, if you want to learn more, it was a great interview that we did back in those times. But we also talked about something in that show that I want to kind of illuminate now. If you're going to get ahead of the story, you talk a lot about talking about the symptoms before the diagnosis. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So, if you say to someone, I have ADHD, da-da-da-da-da, whatever follows, the problem with that is, as much as ADHD is much better understood these days by researchers, clinicians, as well as the general public, still there are people out there who have inaccurate information about it. Doesn't mean, you know, that they're sort of badly intentioned about it, but they just have inaccurate information. If you say, I have ADHD, you don't know what the other person is going to make of that. And they may come up with some incorrect assumptions about who you are as a person. So the more narrow way of responding to that is to do what I call talk symptoms before diagnosis. Yep. So you don't say, I have ADHD, dot, dot, dot. You say, you know, it's really hard. It's a struggle for me to get places on time. Or I sometimes forget things that are told to me in passing. Or I, you know, tend to procrastinate, so do me a favor, let me know, you know, check in with me a couple days before to make sure I'm, you know, working on that. It's a much narrower explanation of what's going on. And, you know, again, not that there's nothing wrong with having ADHD, and for people who deserve personal information, you should feel free to tell them. But it's just one of those things. This is personal information, and kind of the example I always give is you don't have to go up to strangers and tell them what kind of underwear you're wearing. Like, whatever underwear you're wearing, it's all fine with me, but only a very small number of people deserve to know that personal information. In the same way, having ADHD is personal information, and the people who will tend to be told personal information are those who tend to handle that kind of personal information well. So if someone is open-minded, if they seem to understand these sorts of things, you're more likely to tell them, you know, that you have ADHD or whatever. But if it's in the workplace, if it's a casual acquaintance, if it's, you know, I don't know, your kid's teacher or something, you don't necessarily have to disclose the full story.
And, you know, it's funny because as you described that story, because, again, everybody, the big picture, we're talking about active acceptance over passive resignation and getting ahead of the story. And, you know, Ari, I was at the ACO conference, and it just dawned on me now as kind of living this stuff, because because of my learning disabilities, when I meet people and face that, I have a really hard time kind of associating those things together. And I found myself a couple times, people would say their names, and I'd go, will you spell it for me? Because sometimes I just doesn't click, and if they spell it for me, I can understand what's going on. But a lot of times, I did this three times. I said, I have a difficult, I don't remember the exact words, but I made reference to my working memory, and if you don't mind, can I write your name down? And it was with all due respect, because I wanted to remember them, and I have a hard time with names, but I've kind of accepted that a little bit, and that, I think, is a way of describing, I didn't say I've got a learning disability, I just said, hey, listen, I struggle with names by leading with the symptoms, and it was every time I did it, the person was more than willing to sit there patiently while I kind of wrote their name. So that's what I'm describing, is that basically what
and that absolutely fits, because, you know, the denial perspective is to say, well, I'm just going to remember it, but you probably won't. Like, history and track record tells us no, like, you're probably not going to remember it. So the denial perspective is kind of denying the apparent reality there. The acceptance perspective is to say, you know what, I just don't I don't catch names. I don't remember them if they're merely spoken to me. It whips by too fast. I can't grab it and process it. So if I write it down, then now I can do something with it. And the thing is, most people, if they're presented with that situation of like, hold on a second, can I write down your name, will take it as, wow, this guy is really earnest, and it's important to him to remember my name. A small percentage of people will look at you and say, God, what the hell is wrong with this guy? But you know what? That is them. Like, that's them being kind of
terrible,
judgmental
people. That's their
problem,
not your problem.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That becomes their problem, not your problem. So, all right, I need to run to a break a little bit, real quick. When we come back, I want to talk about shitting here a little bit in the context of passive resignation. So think about that while we're doing this. So everybody, again, more on Dr. Tuckman at adultadhdbook.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having another great interview with Dr. Ari Tuchman around acceptance. And I love having Ari on the show because I always get to ask questions. I don't even really know where they're kind of going, and usually I get a nice little aha out of it. And as I listen to you talk, I began to think, the word shooting popped into my mind, and I frequently, when I'm working with those with ADHD, they can say, well, I should do this once or twice, but then I start getting on them and saying, listen, you shouldn't be shooting all over yourself. It's not very becoming. And I began to talk about how when you say you should do something, that takes you right back to the solutions that you've proven doesn't work for you. And I use it in light just for fun, but to actually kind of shift their attention. And all of a sudden, I'm wondering, for those that are more passively resigned and accepting, so often I think some of them are saying that they should do this or they should do this, but they're kind of in denial. They haven't really kind of accepted. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Getting stuck in this should perspective, it stops you from seeing what is really there, because you're stuck in this idea of what should be true. And then, you get into all sorts of problematic mindsets of being kind of moralistic. I shouldn't have to remind you to put away the milk. It should just happen.
Yep.
Okay, maybe it should, but how much do you like having milk in the morning? Is that a good thing? Does that make your life better to have milk in the morning, or does it make your life worse to have milk in the morning? Because if it makes your life better to have milk in the morning, then you should put away the milk when you see it, even if your partner left it out, or you should find another way to make sure the milk gets put back in the fridge. Getting moralistic really kind of locks our attention into, what it should be rather than what it actually is. Getting kind of depressed and hopeless does the same thing. We get locked on, this is just the way it is. There's nothing I can do about it. It can't change. This is just how I am. Again, not a helpful perspective or mindset if you're looking to live a better life or if you're looking to make some changes. So I think that this, the should is not helpful beyond a certain small point. To some small extent, it is helpful in the sense of I really should do better than this. If that's a motivator, if that gets you going and doing things, if that helps you look and say, I should do better than this, why am I not? What is getting in the way of me doing better on this thing? Then that's helpful. But if you get locked into the should, then it's gone way past the point of being helpful.
It's really funny because it just kind of occurred to me, years ago, I thought I should go to presentations and present a certain way off of PowerPoint, and it was very difficult for me. It really wasn't working. It was just kind of hard and exceptionally stressful. And then I kind of began to realize is that really what I like to do in front of people is like to tell stories, and it's a lot easier for me to interact. If we were going to go, last year I was at a CHAD presentation interviewing Luca Foglois, and that was so much easier because it was a conversation like we're having right now. I didn't exactly know where it was going to go, and I didn't have to script it. I just had a general idea. And I'm saying this because I kind of gave up. I read even geeks can speech in their format. And I just said I accepted the fact that I just don't think that way. And anymore right now I do presentations where I basically almost everything I have, it doesn't look like it, but it's a visual or a story or something, and it prompts me. It's kind of like I follow the outline, but then I just tell a story, whatever I think of that's related to that particular thing at the point in time. And it's not the tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them what you're going to say, and the whole call to action. But I about the time I accepted that I just couldn't do it that way, I shifted it around. And I say every once in a while someone will come up and make a comment like you're not doing it the way you're supposed to. But I also get a lot of comments from other people because of the enthusiasm and the unique stories that I tell that actually kind of illuminates it. And so it was interesting to me because it wasn't until I accepted I couldn't do it the way you're supposed to do it that it actually became freeing for me. And to a certain extent, sometimes I'm acknowledged for it.
Right. Well, but that's the thing. I think if you, you know, there's something to be said for recognizing, you know what, I cannot be all things to all people. If you want this kind of a presentation, I am your man. If you need a different kind of presentation, nothing personal, no offense, you just need to find somebody else. So, yeah, I think that, you know, recognizing and then accepting, this is how I present. Like, this is the way I do it, and this is what works best for me. It keeps you out of situations that are not going to be enjoyable for anyone. And it's sort of like, you know, I get, you know, I mean, the referrals I get, the clients who, potential clients who call me, most of them are like right in the kind of people that I see. Because, you know, I've created a reputation that these are the kinds of folks I do well with.
Yep.
But every now and then I get a call from someone where it's just like, you know what, I am so not the right guy for this job.
Uh-huh.
There are much better people to work on the kind of stuff you need them to. And I send them to someone else who's better. And I accept that, and I feel good about it. And the alternative is I take on a client where I don't feel comfortable because I know I'm not being as effective as I need to be. They don't feel happy with the outcome because I'm not doing what they need. So that acceptance really is kind of freeing because it can keep you a bit more in your sweet spot when you have that option. But also kind of tolerating some of the discomfort that can come at other times. Like, you know what, I wish this was going better, but you know what, I'm the person who's here, so therefore I will have to do the best that I can.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Dr. Tuckman, I want to kind of pull this together. There's one last story that I want to tell. I'll prompt you for it. You know, you can't think of it right now, but before we do that, is there any last nugget or any last comment you'd like to share in this space before we go to an example? Another example, at least.
Yeah, I guess, you know, in terms of your, you know, the story you told about interviewing Luca, and, you know, you made the comment that you had no idea where it was going to go, but that was fine. And I think that there's, you know, I'm a big fan of kind of having faith in the process. So, in other words, you have done a ton of these interviews. So you don't have to know what's going to happen. You have faith in your ability as an interviewer to ask good questions and to take what they said and to run with it. I don't know if you knew anything about Luca and his ability to be a good participant in that, but just like having faith in the process means I don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? I think it's going to work out well. So like, and me going into this call with you, like, I've known you a while now. We've done Lord knows how many of these things. Like, you know, you could approach me with a topic, and as far as I'm concerned, it's always going to be a good topic. Like, we can go right now. You know, you can call me and say, hey, do you want to do a show on this? And I'm like, sure, let's go.
Because yeah, we actually did that. It was last summer, I think, I called you up. I had like a one-liner, and we just winged it, kind of came together. I remember that was really kind of cool. But, you know, I have kind of – it's funny because people will call me up and want me to give them all the questions. I'm like, I can't do that. I usually have a – I mean, I'll watch a presentation or I'll know a person to get a general idea, and I know where I want to go. And sometimes when they come on the show, I'll tell them what the first question is, but usually I have absolutely no idea after that, and I just kind of go where it is. And I've accepted the fact that if I had a list of questions – it is very awkward and it doesn't come off very well. And I just let that go kind of a long time ago. And so, again, just another highlight of the acceptance here. And the other thing that I kind of highlight as you began to talk is if you begin to accept it, it begins to take the pressure off of yourself because you're not trying to be somebody that you're not, which I think is very, very empowering. So
it is, and it accepts the fact that, you know, there's going to be some weird moments, some awkward pauses, some whatever, but you know what, that's fine. We'll get over those, and it will work out fine. You know, so it kind of acceptance often means tolerating a certain amount of imperfection.
Absolutely. So I want to close this down, but you have a story that I'd like you to tell everybody, because I mean I love obvious solutions that are not so obvious, particularly with those with ADHD. And I think this story that you can tell really, really illustrates acceptance and actually doing something about it. So can you tell us about Eric Tivers? And we've had Eric on the show before. He's got ADHD and actually has the podcast ADD Rewired. I've been on, I think Ari's been on it. But anyway, he struggles to go to bed on time. So he's accepted it. So can you share the story of what he does to try to overcome that?
Sure. I think this is an awesome, awesome example. So Eric, as many people with ADHD, tends to be a bit of a night owl. By contrast, his wife is, let's just say, not a night owl. So she tends to go to bed much earlier than him, which on the one hand I think is awesome because there's no need for them both to be awake if she's dying, falling asleep, and no need for him to get into bed and stare at the ceiling for 3 hours before he can fall asleep. So they go to bed at different times. The problem there is, the challenge there is that then he doesn't have her to say, hey, honey, it's 10:30, let's go up. So he's left to his own devices to make sure that he gets up there. Now, at the time he told me this story, his son was, I don't know, 6 months or a year or something. So this is a little bit of an older story. But nonetheless, his son was a baby. Do not wake up the baby. If you wake up the baby is unhappy, and then the mommy is even more unhappy, and then you will be even more unhappy. So what he would do is he would set an alarm in the bathroom upstairs while he is doing whatever he's doing downstairs for, let's say, 11 o'clock, just to make up a number. If the alarm goes off at 11 o'clock, it wakes everybody up, and he has big problems at home. So in all the time he did that, I think it only went off one time because it had such high salience. It was so important that he not mess this thing up. So that is an awesome idea. I've never seen that written anywhere other than from him. But it's a great example. It's a great creative example because setting an alarm downstairs is kind of like, whatever, I'm in the middle of something, or, well, I'll go up in a minute. But the possibility of waking up his wife and baby is way too important to let that happen. So it did the trick in a way that a lot of other strategies didn't. And the acceptance piece of that is for him to recognize, you know what, I need to make this very important. Like, I've got to have some skin in the game on this. Merely setting an alarm on my phone, which I can dismiss and ignore without even thinking about it, doesn't do it. So it's a great idea to set an alarm on the phone, but if it doesn't work, it's accepting it's not going to work and then doing something better. So I think that is the genius in that strategy.
It really was. Now, my other favorite Eric Tivers quote is he was having difficulty managing his emails. He had like 27,000 in his inbox one time. He said he just declared email bankruptcy and deleted them all over again. He's quite a hoot. So, and talk about somebody who's accepted, I'm not going to go through 27,000, so I'll just declare bankruptcy.
Right.
So, Ari, I have to thank you so much for coming on the show. You really changed the way I've looked at acceptance, and I'm a big believer right now in active acceptance and not really the passive acceptance. And I think you actively accept it and understand who you are, and you get out in front of the story, and particularly if you focus on symptoms, not diagnosis, it puts you actually in much more of a position of power to kind of control the information than just passively be at, you know, the whim of everybody's expectations and judgment. So with that, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, my pleasure. I always enjoy these conversations. Whether they're recorded or not, I always enjoy them.
All right, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this show. Learn more about Ari at his website, adultadhdbook.com. And with that, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.